and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Yeah.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Let's get him. Let's get him hard.
Pedro Fernandez.
Better grab me quick before my knees give way.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the multi-billion dollar sports byline facilities here in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, for another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, coming to you live on Twitch.tv. Check out the Sports Byline USA channel. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course, the longest-running fight show in history. We celebrated 37 years last year, right? That's right. We had the HBO godfather in the house, Mr. Larry Merchant, as he does each and every Sunday, but he spent some time with us last weekend. That was special. 37 years of radio. Listen, when I did this originally, it was a bit of a lark. Somebody said, I couldn't do it. You can't do a radio show. Why are you capping on that guy on the radio when you can't do it yourself? Well, guess what? That guy's, like, been buried as a radio announcer, and here I am 37 years later, the undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio. Now, straight up, things we're going to talk about today, of course, we've got boxing, rocking and rolling. They call it pay-per-view. I call it Charlomania. Of course, the Charlo brothers, Jermell and Jamal, once beaten between the two of them, a WBC 154-pound and a WBC 160-pound champion defending their titles. The closest fight on that card is 4-1, and get this, that's the main event with the middleweight Charlo, and 4-1 fight is the closest fight on the card, but they only want to charge you $74.95. So Scott Cuddy's going to the bank today, getting money out of the ATM so we can go watch this fight tonight on pay-per-view. Not. We're not going to watch this fight. We wouldn't pay a dime to watch that fight. Come on. That's an ESPN fight. If there ever was one, Al Haymon should be arrested for impersonating a boxing promoter and trying to put that crap on pay-per-view. He should. I hope he gets burned. More people will steal that fight than will watch it paying for it on pay-per-view. Straight up, that's the truth. 2020, baby, wake up. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Mary, do her thing for a little bit here. I've been in this room, Grand Boulevard, Detroit, Michigan, Motown, USA, of course, Hitsville, USA. Emanuel Stewart, of course, the famed Goldfather from the Bronx Gym in Detroit, had never been to Motown. And every time I went to Detroit, I said, are we going to Motown? He said, yeah, we're going to go tomorrow. So I guess I went to Motown about, I don't know, 15 or 20 times in my life, and Emanuel and I never made it to Hitsville, USA. Bottom line is, talking old-time boxing. Of course, I was looking at some of the old guys and thinking about how I got introduced to boxing. Frankie Click was the world junior welterweight champion back in the 30s. It was a bit of an upset. He was brought in as an opponent. He ended up cutting the guy and winning the title, so he was dubbed world champion. Anyway, born in 1907, fought from 1924 to 1943. When I met him, he was, I guess, about 1962, 1963 through 1966. And he would lay in the streets. He was a drunk. He was a drunkard, you know, wine type of guy. And he would lay in the streets of my neighborhood, and I would pick his brain for boxing stuff. And, you know, my father used to tell me, this is what happens when you get hit too many times, son. This is what happens when you get hit too many times. But then I noticed there was a big difference between Frankie Click when he was sober and Frankie Click when he was drunk. Because when he was sober, he was telling me about the Henry Armstrong fights. And he was telling me about Barney Ross and all these different guys he'd fought along the way and fighting Madison Square Garden, fighting here and fighting there and being the world champion. I mean, he was very, very, very lucid, okay? But when you saw him drunk, all you saw was this guy laying in the street. He knew nothing. But sober, he was a boxing encyclopedia all unto himself. Anyway, I remember him telling me about boxing and how not to get hit and not get hit, and you don't want to get hit. You don't. Anyway, my father used to look at him and say, this is what I said. I'll be repeating myself, but this is what happens when you get hit too much. That's not what happens when you get hit too much. That's what happens when you drink too much. Because when he wasn't drunk, he could run off. The guy was reading the New York Times. There was a wino, basically a wino. Actually, he was a rich guy in the neighborhood, but he was a drunk that laid on the street. But, I mean, he was reading the New York Times and all that kind of good stuff. I kid you not, had the Wall Street Journal a couple of times. This was Frankie Click. Anyway, he died in 1982, and I just want to thank him for all the influences that he had on me, because I looked at him and I said to myself, this is not what I want to be. This is not what I want to be. Not only do I not want to be in the street, I don't want to be a punched-up old boxer. As it turns out, he wasn't as punched up as people thought he was. Anyway, finished his career 86 and 26, 13 draws. 13 draws back in the day wasn't too much, because that's the way they sort of, when you went in there and beat somebody and beat somebody's ass, what they did was they called it a draw instead of sending you home with a loss. Anyway, 25 KOs. He was the great Frankie Click. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Now switch gears. Let's take it to the Bronx and bring in the man, of course, boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro. How's it going? I'm
doing just fine. You sound a little sober this morning. I don't mean that just coming off that drunk thing right there, but, you know, you sound sort of straight.
Yeah, it's still early, although, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but it's only 2:15 here in New York, so I'm doing just water right now.
Okay. You know, a fortnight ago, flat top Pope, Scott Pope, died from fightnews.com. We sort of passed on that one, and I thought maybe you could do a couple sentences on him, and because I wanted to give him the respect that he deserves. Listen, he was a character. There was just no doubt about it. He was a character. He didn't fit into the mold of a boxing reporter, investigative reporter, anything like that, that I would want to be. But he was a character, and he had a good run there at FightNews.com, and him and the guy that runs it, I give Carl Freitag, give them props. They've been going a long time. But what was up with Flat Top? Everybody liked him. He was a character.
Yeah, he was a character. He basically, from what I know, I never got to meet him. You know, sad that he died of a heart attack at 60 years of age, which is still relatively young. He was a colorful character. He was basically very instrumental making Fight News the place to go, you know, and it still is, you know, in terms of results anywhere. You know, I mean, there could be two hobos duking it out in Thailand, and Fight News will have it. And I believe Flat Top had a big part in that. He broke a lot of stories. Very competitive, though. You know, especially I remember when I first started as part of the internet media and boxing, getting fight credentials. He always made sure that his guys were at the front. And, you know, I'm very sad that he left the earth at a relatively young age.
Okay, let's switch gears. Let's talk about Charlomania, baby, coming to you tonight on Showtime pay-per-view or ESPN pay-per-view. I'm not sure what pay-per-view it is anyway. It's $74.95 plus tax, and I'm wondering how many people do you know are buying this fight?
Well, how many people do I know that are buying it? I don't know. How many people that I know that are going to attempt to watch it? Quite a few. Leave it at that.
All right. So are you alluding to the fact that more people will probably watch this via some pirated aspect of the internet rather than paying for it?
It's quite possible. It's quite possible. It's almost like they want you to do it that way. When you put that type of price tag on the fight card, it is a good show. It's a good card. The Charlo brothers are two of the better fighters in their respective weight classes, star potential, and they're going up in fights that either one they could lose. The Charlo Thanksgiving could be a real cheerful one or a very sad one, you know, because they're both going in against live guys.
Well, how can you say live guys when one guy's like a 17-1 underdog and the other guy's like a 4-1 underdog? That doesn't sound too live.
I think they're live, in my opinion. I mean, Rosario is no slouch. He beat up J-Rock on the road to win his world title.
All right, so here's why I'm giving you the bad times that the odds makers have basically stacked these odds. The Charlo brothers are incredible favorites, and I just don't, you know, I've never understood. When I look at the 154 pounder, I say to myself, how could he be 17-1 or 25-1 over anybody, unless they're above?
Well, I mean, betting. I mean, they're gonna have the home field advantage tonight. The fight's in Houston. But then again, there's no is there a limited crowd capacity? Because I know in Dallas, you know, they have the football games, I know that they're allowing a limited crowd. Is there going to be any tickets? I haven't looked into that.
I have no idea. Are we calling this the spread card or what? I don't want to be around a lot of. Are you eager to be around a lot of people today? Still, are you? I mean, are you out there like, let's hook it up? I mean, are you still like
hanging out? No, yeah. Not really. I mean, as far as like outside of immediate family, no. But it's. I mean, I'm not living with fear, but it's. No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not hanging out. I'm not doing the outdoor dining thing. You know, I go out. I have to work, you know, 5 days a week. So I'm in the office 5 days a week, and I see my folks, and that's just about it. You know, I treat, you know, with prudence. I'm not even back in the gym. I've been doing a lot of workouts outside, and you know, if it's not necessary, I'm not there.
Okay, how are Mr. and Mrs. Socrates Palmer Sr.?
Oh, they're great. They're great. They're both retired now, so you know, pretty much homebodies. They have been for the last 2 years, so they're doing well. Actually, Mom has a birthday next week. She'll be 73.
Well, we'll have to play some George Harrison and Paul McCartney happy birthday for her next week, something like that. Anyway, bottom line is stick around. The PhD of Boxing will be with us after the break. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, celebrating 37 years and 1 week of radio. Get this. We've got open phone lines around the planet if you dare. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this. The guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The number? 1-415-275-1613. The studio text lines, once again, no commitments. 1-415-275-1613. You tune to Ring Talk live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite, and of course, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel.
This is a nice place to visit.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is Mexican. He's proud to be Mexican.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandido.
You know what that means. It's time to dog somebody south of the border. And who's my candidate this morning? Mr. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Of course, last night, quit like a dog again. Can you hear him barking? Woof, woof. This guy, Mario Cazares, came in. They thought he was a mark. 5 knockouts and 12 wins. He was undefeated, but they needed the O in order to bring Chavez in there and make it somewhat of an attraction. Straight up, the kid beat him straight over a technical decision after 6 rounds, 57-56, 59-54, 57-56. The last time we saw Chavez Jr., he was on a stretcher being taken to a hospital for to get stitches over one of his eyes. So I've got to check in with the PhD boxing right now. Is Mr. Chavez okay?
Wow, what can you say, man? It's like he is the gift that keeps on giving, you know, in terms of just being a train wreck. Unreal. I mean, I don't want to kick a dog while he's down, but damn, how can you not? I mean, what's the old saying? To he who is given much is expected. And this is a guy that basically became a star just for the mere fact of being born and being given, you know, his father's name. And you talk about pissing it all away. And, you know, when's enough enough?
Listen, he's the only guy I know that I've ever heard of in the history of boxing. And, you know, I do my history and I read a lot of things. I endure a lot of BS going through gossip pages and that kind of good stuff because I'm just a nut when it comes to that kind of good stuff. But when that referee told me that he went into the L.A. Forum dressing room to enter to give Chavez Jr. his final instructions. And Chavez Jr. was in the shower fornicating with a woman. I said to myself, this is a bit unusual. I mean, I've never heard of that before. I mean, I've heard of Ali getting Lola Falana. I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that. If Lola's still alive, I'm sorry, Lola, but Ali told me that you blew him before the Frazier fight, but outside, in the dressing room. But outside of that, I've never heard of sexual encounters like that in the dressing room. Have you?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's, I don't know. I mean,
wait. Tell the referee he's got to come back. The kid's getting laid. Wait, isn't that basically what it was?
Yeah. I mean, that's something, man. That's like out of a bad B movie, a boxing B movie, something so over the top. But you know, it happened.
Okay. Tell me about this guy Barachuca. 18-0, he has El Flaco's his middle name, but he definitely doesn't look like he's from south of the border. He looks like his USSR type. Serhii Borachuk, 18-0, 18 wax, 154-pounder, stopped Alejandro Davila last night, who came in with a great record as far as numbers were concerned, 21-1, but he only had 8 KOs. And that's isn't that always the telltale sign when they're trying to test somebody, that they put him in with a guy that's got a great record, but he can't punch?
It's kind of like the formula, you know, they do that. It's kind of like the safe opponent. You look at to see how many guys he has stopped. So you figure, you know, he can't hurt my guy. So, you know, it seems like a safe game opponent, and it still looks like the guy is fighting a threat.
The WBA and IBF 140-pound belts are on the line across the pond. ESPN Plus, they, of course, get the app, folks. I recommend it. You know I'm not into spending money. But Josh Taylor, unbeaten, is going to take on Apanun Kongsong. Well, the bottom line is Josh Taylor surprised a lot of us in his last fight, and he really looks like he might be the unsung hero at junior welterweight.
Josh Taylor is the real deal, man. I was not I did not expect him to win that tournament. I had some American bias, and I thought Regis Prograis was going to take it, and he proved me wrong. He outworked them. He's a fun fighter to watch on television, and I definitely will be tuning in tonight. Josh Taylor is a very entertaining fighter, punches with both hands, not tremendous punching power, but a guy that really just outworks you, and he's fighting an undefeated fighter, and let's see what happens. You know, maybe the kid comes in hungry, and it's been a long layoff since the Prograis fight, almost a year.
Speaking of the Prograis fight, how can I put it? He fought passively, and that's the best. I mean, I'm trying to give him a compliment there. He fought passively. Where was the desire in that young man? I mean, here he was at the end of this tournament. He was a chance to make himself a superstar or go back to, like, being a B guy, and he was willing to basically, I'm going back to a B guy without fighting too hard.
I think that he started listening to guys like myself and other, you know, guys that think they know about boxing that were pumping him up and thinking that he was a layup to win, and he got surprised. Josh Taylor was the hungrier fighter. That's all it was. He outworked him, you know, fighting he had the home court advantage, and he just got outworked. And Prograis, who had this tremendous punching power, I think a lot of power punchers get into that laziness of thinking that all I got to do is touch a guy and they're going to fold. And that wasn't the case. You know, you got to work sometimes for your knockouts. And Josh Taylor didn't accommodate Regis.
Okay, so we got Josh Taylor going to ESPN Plus. We got pay-per-view. We got the Charlo brothers on pay-per-view, of course. And then we got on the zone, Uniel Dorticas taking on Marius Bredas. That's for the IBF Cruiserweight title, the WBSS. Cruiserweight final. In other words, that's that tournament, right? I mean, hey, I thought the tournament ran out of money.
I don't know. Are the Germans behind that?
They're running some. I mean, I thought a couple of those tournaments coming out of Europe, they're a bit scammy when guys weren't getting paid and things like that.
Yeah, you know what? I would be dishonest if I said I was following it. What's this guy's name? The German promoter. Help me out.
Sunderland?
Sunderland, right. Weren't they involved behind that?
I don't know. I remember there being some little bit of money being funny there. Of course, we've got Danny Garcia coming up on pay-per-view, going to challenge Errol Spence for the welterweight belt or one of the welterweight belts. After watching Mr. Ennis last week from Philadelphia and Virgil Ortiz, I don't think I want to watch Errol Spence or Bud Crawford anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's time. Listen, these guys have been sort of like, I don't like guys that get belts and sort of hang around and try to say, man, I'm the baddest. Show me. Show me. I mean, you know, when Roberto Duran and Ray Leonard and those guys fight and Tommy Hearns and those guys, I mean, they wanted each other. You hear what I'm saying? It was like this, man, I'm the baddest dude here. When you had 3 or 4 dudes thinking they were the baddest dudes, that was good. Now you got 4 guys thinking, well, I'm an okay guy, but I don't think I'm the baddest dude, or I'd be calling these guys out.
I think the money is a lot different, and I think that has hurt it. These guys. I mean, Danny Garcia is paid. I mean, from what I understand, he lives pretty comfortable.
Oh yeah, he's well off.
Yeah, he's done well with his money, and that's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing.
But that also tells you he's not going to take much of a chance when it comes to his physical well-being.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. There's been times that the Sean Porter fight. I mean, if that fight was on the table and he fought, he was content to just, okay, let's see what the judges say. Same thing with the Keith Thurman fight. He didn't grab the brass ring, you know, like that's one thing that you can always admire about certain fighters like Sugar Ray Leonard and those fighters of that ilk. You know, they close the show and, you kind of wish Danny had that little bit of fire in him, but you know, I think the money has kind of softened him up.
Okay, the money hasn't apparently softened this guy up, because I wrote him off about 10 times. Talking about Manny Pacquiao, 62-7, 2 draws, 39 KOs. They're talking about him doing a fight against Conor McGregor, a boxing match against Conor McGregor. Why am I puking already?
Hey, what can I say? You know,
Conor's got a great record. He's 0-1.
He does. He does have a great record, 0-1. I thought that Conor's legal problems would keep him out of any type of fight. You know, I thought the next fight he'd have would be in front of a judge.
Manny Pacquiao is a minus 1200 favorite, and he's a plus 700 favorite. You know, so I have no idea. And now Floyd Mayweather is going to fight this.
No, don't talk about it. Yeah. Okay, let's ignore it.
All right, but the bottom line is Floyd needs the attention.
Yeah, they all need attention. I mean, the catchphrase now is they're clout chasing, and you know it's just sickening. You know. Fighting a guy that's a YouTuber. I mean, that's, I don't know. I mean, I guess didn't Ali do an exhibition against Lyle Alzado or something like that?
I think he did. But he did it for charity. He didn't do it for money.
Right. Exactly. Big difference. Pacquiao, you know what? Pacquiao, to me, has earned the right to fight me if he wanted to. I think he's fought everyone in his era. He wants to have another big payday against McGregor. Let him do it and hope he stops him.
Well, Sock, I don't know if you know this or not, but if Danny Garcia can't make weight or pulls out the last minute, we got Cuddy ready to step in.
I heard you've been training the cut, man.
Been training the cut, man. Anyway, have a great week. Say hello to the wife and the agent. God bless, bro.
Thank you, bro, brother. Appreciate it. All the best to you always.
The greatest of the great, folks, the PhD of boxing. If there ever was one, yes, that is our PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
One of the original Four Seasons, Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. Of course, Tommy DeVito played guitar. One of the original Four Seasons died at the age of 92 years old, 92 years young, actually, on the 21st of September. Want to miss that, miss him, of course, one of the great Hall of Famers in the world of rock and roll. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look in the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Wow, coming to you last week, the man, we'll get to that in a little bit, but the man that shuts everybody's mouth, I'll talk about Kobe Covington. He beat up Tyron Woodley pretty decently, and I'll get to that in just a second. But the UFC card I want to talk about first, of course, is the UFC card tonight. The UFC card tonight is UFC 253, Israel Adesanya, of course, taking on Paulo Costa. These guys are, it's just bad blood between these two guys. They're both undefeated. One's 19-0, the other one's 12-0. I think this is the second time this has ever gone down in UFC history where two undefeated guys are going at each other for a belt. So the bottom line is something's got to give. Somebody, though, has got to go.
I want my chance to prove I am their champion. I will be waiting for Adesanya, skinny claw Adesanya.
I got this overly inflated balloon animal. This heavy-ass Ricky Martin wannabe. He better not step in there, because this is my octagon.
Adesanya is nothing. He's nothing. He's nothing. I will slap his face, and he will cry like a baby. I will destroy him.
Trust me, when I'm done with him, he'll really look like Ricky Martin. Watched.
Costa versus Adesanya will be a ridiculous fight. I guarantee it. I absolutely, positively guarantee it. Paulo Costa will move forward. He's going to throw big shots. He will not stop punching. And Israel Adesanya is going to have to fight him.
This is a force to be reckoned with. 13 up, 0 down.
The pace and pressure at which Costa fights is going to give anybody problems.
He's an enormous, terrifying, fast middleweight. This is a knockout artist who throws bombs.
Oh, he's hurt.
He ran right through him.
Adesanya cannot survive on octagon with me for 2 rounds. He's so skinny. When he feel my punches, my kicks on his skinny ribs, I will broke him.
Down goes Hall! Paulo Costa does it again!
When I put my hands on him, he will feel my power.
Oh, he's so skinny, bro. Got no power, bro.
Well, I don't need power. Everyone has power.
I have precision.
Oh! His striking IQ is off the charts.
I keep saying, man, I don't throw in hope. I aim and fire.
He is as sophisticated a striker as we've ever seen inside the octagon.
If you are forced to stand and strike with this guy, you're in trouble.
Oh, big knockdown. That's it. Israel Adesanya is the undisputed king of the middleweights.
I've had over 100 fights in my lifetime. I've had over 80 kickboxing fights. I'm going to f*** this up.
I'm going to sleep that guy. He's a guy that I'll definitely jab, pick apart, catch him, and then knock him out.
This is my opportunity to show I am the champion. I'm gonna hunt him down and knock him out.
I wanna be the guy to make him quit. I wanna be the guy to stop him and leave him wondering what happened.
Costa, I'll see you soon, boy.
I'm the champion. I'm the one with the gold. If you want it, come get it.
Light heavyweight co-feature going on tonight, of course, UFC 253 coming to you from Dubai. They've transferred their little their training headquarters, of course, they were in Las Vegas at the Apex Center for about 2 months. Now they're back to Dubai. More power to them. They're getting fights going. And I'm a positive guy when it comes to fighters getting paid. That's what I want fighters to do, get paid. They don't get paid enough in the UFC. The co-feature tonight, of course, is going to feature Jan Blacken, which guy's a bit of a veteran. I think he's now, 26-8. Of course, taking on pretty decent fighter for the vacant light heavyweight championship in Dominic Reyes. He gave John Jones a decent run before losing. I think he was injured, had a torn Achilles, something like that. Listen, one of his legs looked really bad in that fight. But the bottom line is they're going to hook it up for the interim championship. I take it back, the vacant championship. Of course, John Jones has moved up not to heavyweight, but sort of like to unknown, because evidently the UFC, I don't know if the UFC had a contract on him as anything other than the light heavyweight champion. In other words, they may have committed the Don King Hector Camacho mistake. Of course, Camacho was a WBC 130-pound champion, and he was tied to Don King as long as he was the WBC 130-pound champion. So what did he do? He gave up the 130-pound belt, of course, and then he was a free agent. So this might be what's happening here with John Jones. Of course, John Jones would like to either fight Brock Lesnar or maybe Stipe Miocic for the world heavyweight title. I think Stipe Miocic and him would be not so good of a fight, because I think that John Jones is probably a better fighter all over than Stipe Miocic, even though Miocic is the world heavyweight champion, having beaten guys like Francis Ngannou. Of course, Ngannou's the real deal at heavyweight. I mean, good Lord, man. He's lost a couple of fights, but they've been learning lessons. And if anybody's learned on the job, it's been Francis Ngannou. And I just don't think anybody will be able to stand up with his punching power if they ever get they don't schedule fights for him, because I don't think a whole lot of guys want to fight him. And you can't pay. The UFC doesn't want to pay guys, so they're not going to pay guys to fight Francis Ngannou. It's going to get to the point where the opponent's going to be demanding a lot of money. Anyway, the third fight on this pay card, of course, tonight coming to you from the UFC, Kaya Kara France taking on Brandon Royal. Those guys are fighting at 125 pounds. There's a women's bantamweight bout on the card. Ketian Vieira taking on Sierra Eubanks. Of course, those chicks are going to hook it up at 135 pounds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other fights on the card that will be on ESPN Plus first. And, of course, the second card will be on regular pay-per-view. Good luck on that one as far as buying that. But it's a night of entertainment, no doubt about that. Now, speaking of entertainment, last week, Kobe Covington, the man with the mouth, the man that loves President Trump, not my favorite guy in the world, but he's a guy to be reckoned with as far as middleweight's concerned. He took on the former champion last week, and he turned him out.
You are a great fighter, man. I'll tell you. You make it so easy. I don't know how to do that. Congratulations. I wanted to watch that fight tonight. I wanted to watch it. You were great.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. You gave me the dragon energy when you shook my hand on Sunday at your rally, and it doesn't matter if King Kong was in front of me, I was not going to lose after getting to shake your hand and beat
you. You aren't going to lose. Well, he's a strong-looking guy, too. He's a tough guy. He's a great fighter. He was a champ, and that was easy work, relatively easy work for you. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you so much,
Mr.
President. I'm proud
of you. I just made a big speech. I had 35,000 people. I said, I got to get home now to watch Kobe. That was fast work. Well, great. He's a tough, and he's a good fighter, right?
Yeah.
Did he give you much of a problem? What did you see? Strong guy, right?
Yeah, strong guy, former champion, but it didn't matter who was in there, Mr. President. After getting to see you, I don't care if there was a Superman in there. I was beating anybody.
That's great, Kobe. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan, and I'm proud of you. You're tough. You have the right spirit. So now go win the next one, and just keep it for a long time, right? Just keep that championship for a long time. But you are something, and say hello to all the guys. I appreciated the shout-out tonight, too. I'm your fan, you're my fan, you know, two of a kind.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I'm going to bring you the new belt to the Oval Office soon after you win November 3rd by a landslide.
You get that belt and you bring it in, and I'll see you, man. We're rooting for you. I came in from a big speech tonight. I said, I got to get back. I got to watch this man, the man.
That's so humbling.
You keep it going. Colby, keep it going. You look great. You look fantastic.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you so much, Mr.
Very
President.
Very proud of you. Very proud of you, Colby. So long. See you soon.
See you soon, Mr. President. Long. Have a great night.
So long, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, a lot of butt kissing there, and you can't say that I don't air the other side there, because Mr. Trump is not my favorite guy. But the bottom line is, he deserves some time. He called Kobe Covington during his post-fight press conference on ESPN, which was obviously scheduled, but that's the way it went down, and more power to the both of them. Anyway, let's go to our boxing. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about boxing history. Of course, our house historian, Grandmaster Billo, that's right, that's what we call him, GMBLO. Of course, he is a boxer himself, a retired boxer himself. But today in boxing history, 1945, Sugar Ray Robinson, a guy that I spent some time with in 1984, of course, at the Aladdin Hotel. We spent some time a Friday, a Saturday, and part of a Sunday together. But he beat Jake LaMotta. Of course, that was just a continuation of their fights, because they had fought several times prior. But that was in Chicago, Illinois, and Ray Robinson won a 12-round decision that day. Of course, 1945, September 26th. Same day, 1946, Tony Zale knocked out Rocky Graziano to retain the world middleweight title. Last time I saw Graziano, don't get grossed out here, folks, but last time I saw him, I said, Rock, I really need an interview with you. I'm chasing him around with a microphone and a tape recorder in Atlantic City. He goes, kid, I got to go take a squirt. I'll be right back. I never saw him again, and he died 3 months later. 1951, Sandy Sadler, the world featherweight champion, bad dude, no doubt about that, took out pound for pound, one of the greatest fighters of all time. Talk about Willie Pep. Well, they were both two of the greatest fighters, pound for pound, of all time. But Sadler, he was a tremendous aggressive. He got some of the guys that he wrecked. Is just he was a wrecking ball. Anyway, Sandy Sadler, TKO 10. Willie Pep retains a world featherweight title, and that was on this day in 1951. Bogota, Colombia. Eddard Joffre, and I met this guy. Man, it was like 1992. I met him at the World Boxing International Boxing Hall of Fame in Canastota, New York, and I was honored to beat him because he's one of South America's great fighters, no doubt about that. But he beat Bernardo Carabello to retain the world bantamweight title on this day. And, of course, 1970, Cam Buchanan beat Israel Laguna. This set up Buchanan's ass-whooping by Roberto Duran. And why do I say that? Laguna was Duran's hero. He was a world champion, of course, coming to you from Panama. And this was 1970. And Roberto Duran is a budding 130-pounder, maybe 126-pounder. They don't know where he's going to go yet, but they think he's going to be a featherweight at that point in time. After Laguna got beat up after 15 rounds over against Cam Buchanan, they decided they were going to set their sights on the World Lightweight Championship. Of course, in 1972, Duran stopped him in the 12th round. And, you know, Buchanan's still screaming about that stop. He's saying he got hit in the nuts. He said that one of his testicles cracked. That's what he actually said. I mean, he's been telling me things for over the years, but the most recent thing I read about him was that one of his testicles cracked. Anyway, but the bottom line is, that meant you weren't wearing the proper equipment. Because remember when these cups were designed back in the 1930s, where you could take a baseball bat and hit somebody in the groin area with a baseball bat and it wouldn't hurt them? Yes, that's how good those iron cups are. So if you're wearing the iron cup and you get hurt anyways, that meant you were either faking it or you're wearing the cup wrong and you got some of your body hanging out between the cup and you. Anyway, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Ken Buchanan beating Israel Laguna for the World Lightweight Championship. 1986, Edwin Rosario knocked out Livingstone Brambo. Of course, Brambo had beaten Ray Mancini. And I was a bit surprised there. I really was, because I thought that Brambo was going to give Rosario a bit of a run because Rosario had been knocked out previously. I think Jose Luis Ramirez had lit him up, and Ramirez wasn't much of a fighter. I mean, we sparred a few rounds down there in San Jose, and if he wasn't the world champion, bottom line, I didn't have all that much respect for him. But Rosario, of course, the late Edwin Rosario got hooked on heroin. He died. Hector Camacho was part of that card as well. Of course, he won a 12-round decision over Cornelius Boza Edwards. That was for the WBC version of the 135-pound championship, I believe. And, of course, that was the WBA version, Rosario and Bramble going back and forth. They would eventually hook it up, Edwin Rosario and Hector Camacho. I think they would fight in the Garden. And Camacho, the macho man, he would go in there and come out without any macho. I mean, just got his macho taken away from that night. That was the end. That was the end of the macho man, per se, because his chin, he had never had his chin checked before. And I mean by his chin check, when you get hit on the chin and your world goes, whoa, and your eyes start to roll and that kind of stuff. Well, his eyes were rolling, I think, about the 5th round against Rosario. And from that point forward, he wasn't really the macho man, per se. He was a safety first macho man. He sort of fought very defensive. But, you know, that brought him a long way. He didn't get stopped. I think he never got stopped. I think it's like 64-6, somewhere around there off the top of my head, and something like 35, 40 knockouts. So Hector Camacho, may he rest in peace. But think about this. Camacho dies via drugs. He's shot in a drug thing where there's some cocaine in the car. Edwin Rosario overdoses. Man, not a good place to hunt. Puerto Rico and drugs? Not in boxing. Anyway, bottom line is, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. A little Tower of Power to the break. You are so wonderful, so marvelous.
The way that you walk, you talk, really knocks me out, girl. The clothes that you wear, the style of your hair, the way that you fare. Under all conditions, you're mine all of the time. So wonderful, so marvelous, girl. You're everything to me.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Yeah, that's him, man.
Yesterday, the godfather of Tower Power, one of the founding members, of course, we're talking about Mr. Emilio Castillo. Man, he started off in Detroit. Of course, his father, Jack Castillo, was a boxer of note, sparred with the aforementioned Willie Pep and guys like that. Of course, Jack brought his family out to San Leandro or to the East Bay here. And, of course, then Emilio wanted to start a band back in 1967, 1968. He got together with this guy named Stephen McKenzie Kupka, later to be known as the Funky Doctor. And of course, Jack's thing, Jack being the father, Jack told Emilio two things. You need to be the band leader, and you need to be able to pick smart people. And guess what? That's what he did. Of course, he picked Stephen Mackenzie Cooper, his songwriter, and they've been together for better than 51 years. Check them out, towerofpower.com. But happy birthday to the godfather of Tower of Power, Mr. Emilio Castillo. Now, don't forget the TV schedule tonight. You've got ESPN going in just a little while. I mean, you got to check out. I'm on the West Coast. So I've got something coming at me with Josh Taylor in just a few minutes here as far as the live TV's concerned on the ESPN Plus. But you've got to check your dials. Last night, of course, that car that was on DAZN, D-A-Z-N, which you pay for, as far as Chavez and his buddy getting lit up there, his son getting lit up. But Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. did an exhibition there with Jorge Arce, and that probably was more entertaining than the fight itself as far as his son's concerned, because, you know, at the end of the day, you can't make a fighter a fighter. You can give him a name, you can give him gloves, you can get him in shape, but you can't make him a fighter. And Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. will never, ever be a fighter. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 37 years in the making. I want to thank you for tuning in. You can be doing a million things right now, but listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My name is Pedro Fernandez. The executive producer is the one, the only, the incomparable Scott Cuddy. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, and a plethora of other internet platforms. And our podcasts are always at anchor.com within a couple of hours. Straight up, all the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcasts are at anchor.com. Until next time, don't forget, the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 hours, I'll bring you the retired HBO godfather, Larry Merchant, the fight results from tonight. Straight up, we'll have a great show. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline.